There was once a line of ants who were marching their merry little way when suddenly they were snorted up the nostrils of the Prince of Darkness. He also licked up some pee. And there was also once a beautiful little dove who really, really enjoyed having a head. Then, one day, that dove's head was chomped off by the godfather of metal. This was followed by a poor little bat, also suffering from a decapitating bite from the jaws of a man named John Michael Osborne. But here's the twist. The Prince of Darkness, the Godfather of Metal, and John Michael Osborne are all the same person. And you know this talented madman as Ozzy Osbourne. He is one of the most respected musicians of all time, and has had quite the rocky road rolling his way to the top of rock and roll. But we absolutely would not expect anything less from Ozzy Osbourne. His battles with drugs and alcohol are stuff of legend. And then he did something completely unexpected, ushered in the modern era of reality TV, for better or worse. But through it all, he never stopped being himself, for better or worse. With a just released new album, it's time to delve into what the f*** happened to Ozzy Osbourne. But to truly understand what the fuck happened to Ozzy Osbourne, we must begin at the beginning, and the beginning began when he was born on his birthday, 1948, England. In the late 1960s, young Ozzy would put together a band with a name inspired by a little Italian horror film, The Three Faces of Fear, or as it's better known to American audiences, Black Sabbath. The band took inspiration from this horror film while noticing that audiences responded better when there was an element of fear in the music, resulting in darker lyrics and less poppy guitar riffs. You know, harder stuff. The debut album from Black Sabbath would go on to be featured in the book 1001 Albums You Must Hear Before You Die. Black Sabbath's follow-up album would go down in history as one of the greatest albums ever made, Paranoid, in 1970. Featuring such classic title tracks as Paranoid, as well as Iron Man and War Pigs. The album is considered instrumental in the development of modern heavy metal music. And in the year 2017, Rolling Stone magazine would even list this as the greatest metal album of all time. Of course, this would start the controversy the band and later Ozzy as a solo artist would face when a woman took her own life, and when police showed up, they found the album on her turntable. The band does admit that their earlier music was much darker, with some semi-satanic-like lyrics and riffs. Don't worry, there's just a little bit of Satanism, they said. But of course, many believe that the idea that their music led to the woman killing herself is ridiculous. Black Sabbath would be taken to court, but the case was ultimately thrown out. It was at this time that Black Sabbath went searching for management, who they found with Don Arden, who had a daughter named Sharon, who Ozzy says he was immediately smitten with. And pretty little Sharon was part of the reason they chose Don Arden as their manager, so that Ozzy could see her. Ozzy, you're such a romantic. Ozzy says that at the time their relationship was strictly professional, but ultimately it evolved and kind of turned into one of the greatest love stories of our time.
Sharon!
Following several successful years with Black Sabbath, Ozzy would be asked to leave the band. The reason cited was that even though all the other members of the band partook in various substances, Ozzy seemed to go even further with his drug and alcohol abuse, and that ultimately interfered with the work. So Ozzy Osbourne was rocking and rolling too hard to rock and roll, After embarking on a months-long alcohol and drug binge, manager Don Arden and Sharon would help Ozzy get back on his feet, signing him to Jet Records and releasing his first ever solo album, Blizzard of Oz, in 1980. Ranked number 9 on Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest metal albums of all time, Blizzard of Oz would feature such classic tracks as Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley. Sadly, another song on the album would gain the most recognition when a teenager committed suicide, and his parents alleged that he had listened to the song Suicide Solution just prior to committing the act. They would sue Ozzy and CBS Records for encouraging self-destructive behavior. However, in court, Ozzy said that the lyrics, "Wine is fine, but whiskey is quicker," was a lyric that had been written in the aftermath of his friend and AC/DC frontman Bon Scott's death. While the rest of the song was written as a reflection of Ozzy's own substance abuse issues, all of this was ultimately dismissed, citing First Amendment protections. It wasn't long before Ozzy's solo career would be just as big as his time with Black Sabbath. He would follow Blizzard of Oz with Diary of a Madman in 1981, featuring the classic track Over the Mountain, followed by Bark at the Moon in 1983, and The Ultimate Sin in 1986 with its hit single Shot in the Dark. 1982 would prove to be quite the memorable year for Ozzy, if he could actually remember it. You know, due to years and years of massive drug consumption. It would all begin on January 20th. A fan, after hearing the story of an intoxicated Ozzy biting the head off a dove in a business meeting, brought a bat to a concert. The fan threw the bat on stage and motioned to Ozzy, who proceeded to pick it up and bite its head off in front of the crowd. Ozzy says that it was not uncommon for people to throw things on stage during the shows, but most everything they threw was made of rubber, so he just assumed it was like a little rubber bat Halloween decoration thing. But Ozzy says he knew instantly something was wrong when his mouth filled up with blood. He would be rushed to the hospital afterwards to get a rabies shot, and this would be one of the most infamous stories in rock and roll history. But this is a lesson for everyone: before you bite into something, make sure it's not a bat. But bat soup is apparently fine. The second most memorable event of 1982 happened on July 4th, a date that Ozzy picked so that he would never forget it. Ozzy would marry his manager, Sharon. This wasn't Ozzy's first marriage, though. He has two children from a previous one, but of course that all fell apart because of drugs and alcohol and stuff. Hey, guess what? Don't do drugs. Did you ever wonder how to get banned from the city of San Antonio? Well, if you're Ozzy Osbourne, you drunkenly urinate on the Alamo. And because Ozzy and his pee disrespected the heroes of the Alamo, he was banned from the city for 10 years. And the second that San Antonio ban was over, what did Ozzy do? Well, he brought Ozfest to the Alamo City. Kind of as a rock and roll apology, and kind of as a rock and roll middle finger at the same time. Ozzy would also urinate in the head of CBS Europe's wine glass after drunkenly dancing on the table during a meeting. And yeah, there's that story of him licking up, I think it was Tommy Lee's pee, as like a fun I dare you game. That's so rock and roll. Ozzy Osbourne, he's pissing everywhere, which kind of makes me think that all those dogs pissing and pooing everywhere is kind of a urination karma. Or maybe he just has bladder control issues and needs help. Ozzy's solo career would continue to thrive through the late 80s and the 90s, with the albums No Rest for the Wicked in 1988, No More Tears in 1991, and Ozzymosis in 1995.
I'm fucking crazy, and I like it!
But music wasn't all Ozzy was up to. 1995 would see him take on his first acting role as the band manager in the hilarious Jerky Boys movie. But even as Ozzy became one of the biggest musicians of all time, his legendary drug and party habits were something of a liability. Of course, sometimes when one door closes, another much bigger, much more awesome, much more rocking, much more metal door opens. And such was the case when in 1996, Sharon Osbourne tried to get Ozzy on the Lollapalooza lineup. And since Lollapalooza is a festival for hippies who like to dance in Dewey Meadows, they turned down Ozzy Osbourne because he was too metal, too dark for the hippies. So Sharon Osbourne used her brilliant marketing business mind and said, "F*** you, Lollapalooza," and created Ozfest. The first Ozfest festival was just 2 days, but it eventually evolved into one of the biggest yearly tours, not just in metal, but in music. All of the music. Ozfest produced truly legendary concerts that rocked our fragile little minds. Sadly, Ozfest has not happened since 2018, Anno Domini. But maybe, one day again, we will soon get Ozzy back on the stage for a farewell tour. Maybe, if he feels like it. But one of the biggest disappointments for metal fans happened on March 5th, 2002, Anno Domini. That was the day Ozzy Osbourne and his family would inadvertently launch the modern era of reality TV, when their show The Osbournes premiered on MTV. Cause yeah, reality TV, that's so not metal. But he did gain a lot of other fans and became like the most mainstream thing ever. Everywhere you looked were the faces of Ozzy, Sharon, Jack, and the daughter who is named Kelly. I remembered it. The show was pitched after the success of Ozzy's MTV Crib segment, and the series quickly became MTV's highest rated series ever. It was a massive zeitgeist hit. Like, this was the first time we got to see a intimate, partially real depiction of celebrity life at home. This paved the way for the Kardashians and all of those other people like that. Like it or not, yeah, this was truly revolutionary TV making right here.
The fuck's this shit?
And since they were the first to do this reality TV family thing, they were also the first family to really suffer from the dark sides of this thing we call reality TV. Years later, Ozzy and the rest of the Osbournes would reflect on the series, saying that they hated the toll that it took on their family. Ozzy hated the cameras everywhere. He hated that they were filming while his wife was battling cancer. I guess the show helped humanize the man, who at that time was famous for debaucherous behavior. But at certain times, it almost seemed like they were making fun of poor Ozzy. And that made Ozzy Osbourne fans really upset, and you do not want to upset Ozzy Osbourne fans, which I'm probably doing by just making this video. What the fuck?
Kelly, what the fuck do you want me to do, Kelly? Do you want me to go and say something to him? What do you want me to do, Kelly?
For a man with the history that Ozzy has, his health has remained better than expected. Like, it doesn't seem like the guy should be alive, but he still is. He has had quite a few rough patches, though. Like that time in 2019 when he had to cancel his No More Tours 2 tour due to pneumonia. And that got so bad that doctors didn't think Ozzy was gonna make it. But he did. And that's Ozzy in a nutshell. When others think one thing, Ozzy proves them wrong. I'm sure no one thought Black Sabbath would ever reunite. But they did, with a new album called 13, released in 2013. And that would top the Billboard charts and lead to a Grammy Award for Best Metal Performance. That's right, Black Sabbath was still winning Grammys in 2013. And everyone was pretty damn sure that Ozzy was not gonna make it after that horrendous four-wheeler accident. But nope, he totally survived. And people thought that Ozzy would never be clean and sober. And though he has had his moments of sobriety before, Ozzy Osbourne is currently 7 years clean and sober, saying a fight with his son Jack helped him realize it was finally time to put those demons to rest. Even Jack suffered from substance abuse issues, which he overcame, and now he hosts Bigfoot shows, yay! And a lot of people thought that the marriage between Ozzy and Sharon wouldn't last. Yet, Sharon and Ozzy's romance is one of the most enduring love stories in rock and roll history. Sure, it definitely had its tests, such as the time in 2016 when Ozzy admitted to having a 4-year-long love affair with his hairdresser, but Sharon apparently forgave him, I guess. Miss Osbourne says that she knows of a few other women that Ozzy has cheated on her with, but she just calls them quote-unquote show ponies. Whatever works for you, Sharon. After Ozzy went to rehab for sex addiction, Sharon would reconcile with her husband, and the pair would renew their vows in Las Vegas, with Ozzy saying that without Sharon, he is nothing. Recently, Ozzy has made headlines when he announced that he's done living in the United States of America due to the excessive rising crime rates. It's getting so scary here that even the Prince of Darkness has had enough. Ozzy and his wife Sharon said that the United States of America just doesn't feel very united anymore, for some reason, and that it's just time to get back to the UK, where nobody ever commits a violent crime, right? But in the meantime, Ozzy is still out there rocking your face off, including playing the 2022 NFL opening concert that aired on NBC for 10 f***ing seconds. It was a massive moment in metal, as it was Ozzy's first live performance in over 3 years, after a series of spinal injuries that kept him away from touring. NBC never gave a reason why they cut from the Ozzy concert, but metalheads everywhere were none too pleased. And like I said before, you do not want to make Ozzy Osbourne fans mad, as I will learn in the comments below. Speaking of commenting below, comment your comments in the comments below. And hey, while you're there, you might as well like, share, and subscribe, and click that bell to get those notifications if you want to be notified about, you know, this Joe Blow what the f*** content. Mr. Ozzy Osbourne has also had quite the film career, mainly playing himself and poking fun at both his metal persona and his reality TV softer side, in films such as Little Nicky, Austin Powers' Goldmember, the video game Brutal Legend, playing what else? The Guardian of Metal, of course. He was also in that Ghostbusters movie that is perfect in every way, and I will not criticize or say anything but that it's perfect in every way. He's in that Ghostbusters movie. And his legendary metal voice has been featured in Romeo and Juliet, Sherlock Gnomes, Bubble Guppies, and Trolls World Tour. And the character of Ozzy Osbourne appeared in that Motley Crue biopic The Dirt. An actor portraying Ozzy stops by for a scene-stealing, ant-snorting, pee-drinking performance. Think about it, Ozzy Osbourne rocks so much that the most talked-about thing in a Motley Crue movie is Ozzy Osbourne. No offense to Motley Crue. He is the most metal man to have ever metaled, which makes him a f***ing legend. Did I mention how f***ing much Ozzy f***ing likes to say f***? And all of that rock and roll mystique was peeled back to reveal a man not unlike the rest of us in some ways. You know, he's just a guy who doesn't know how to use the remote and steps in dog poop. Just like you and me. Rock and roll! But through it all, he has never lost sight of what made him Ozzy f***ing Osbourne. The music. And you know what the thing is? Ozzy shows no sign of slowing down. Yes, he has technically slowed down a bit due to his age. It'll happen to us all. But the voice, the spirit, the stage presence, it's all still there. Just a few weeks ago, Ozzy Osbourne released his 13th studio album, Patient Number 9, With the title track topping Billboard charts, and rightfully so, Ozzy Osbourne's new music brings him back to his roots of dark, haunting lyrics mixed with epic guitar riffs. Without him, music in general would not be what it is today. It would be far less rocking and rolling. And television wouldn't be what it is today. It would be far less real and fake. And Ozzy Osbourne continues to prove that with every new project he releases, he's still Ozzy f***ing Osbourne. And you know what? That's why nobody should give a f*** about what the f*** happened to Ozzy Osbourne. Because he's doing just fine.